You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, along with Mark Price, producing this evening, 1320 WILS, and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now, very interesting story. My friend, attorney Jeff Abood. Good evening, Jeff. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing very well. First, let's tell folks, you're down in the Bingham Farms area now, but you have a Lansing connection. You're a Cooley Law School graduate and have family connections here in the Lansing area.
Absolutely. We also have a law firm in East Lansing as well.
The Abood Law Firm, of which you are part. Now, this story caught my eye. You posted some things about the story yesterday, and I thought, boy, this has TV written all over it. It's one of these tragic stories. And basically, the family members, yesterday there was a news conference, family members of a Grosse Pointe Woods woman whose body was recovered from Lake St. Clair last year in what at the time was thought an apparent suicide, say they have evidence that points to foul play. And why don't you take the story from there and how you got involved and what you're doing to help the family now?
Okay. Well, I got involved, it was around September when I got involved. The family never believed it was a suicide. They always believed it to be a homicide. Well, they were working with law enforcement for a while. Law enforcement eventually, they left the case open but inactive. My understanding now is they're just calling it a suicide. The family at that point came to us. They came to hire a law firm to carry out the investigation and do something about this. They want to find out the truth. They want justice to be served. They want some kind of closure. So they came to us. When we started investigating the case, we've recovered a lot of evidence that leads us to believe that this was, in fact, a homicide. Definitely not a suicide, not an accident, but a homicide. And, you know, what we're doing now is we've uncovered a lot of evidence that was either hidden or not recovered, and we're bringing that to light. We're hoping people will come forth with more evidence, and we'll be forthcoming with more evidence to turn over to law enforcement.
Now, why originally, from your investigation so far, did local law enforcement think that it was a suicide, or why were they led in that direction?
I believe it was just simply them drawing a conclusion without analyzing the evidence or without even making an effort to draw more evidence. They saw footprints leading into the water, which was across the street from the church where she was last seen. Police simply said those were her footprints, closed the case, and that was it, essentially. However, those footprints, when we recovered those photographs, were footprints of a large men's boot footprint, not the size 5 high-heeled boot that Mrs. Romaine was wearing.
Now, this happened a year. She disappeared a year ago yesterday, which, you know,
that was part of significance, absolutely. But sorry to cut you off, Cheryl. In addition to that water, those footprints leading into that water, it's important to note that that water was only between a foot and a half to 3 feet deep at the deepest point at several distance out from where that water was. So therefore, making suicide very unlikely.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm a casual observer, and I certainly have I have no feelings about this case one way or the other. I don't know anybody involved except the Abood Law Firm. It wouldn't seem, if suicide was your goal, you're not going to go in 3 feet of water.
Exactly.
And you said you found, in part of the stories that were written about this in the Detroit News and so forth, it says that some evidence has been found pointing to foul play, including a torn purse and bruises on her arm. Maybe you could expand on just those two pieces.
Yeah, well, when her vehicle was found, her vehicle, we'll just set it up. Well, her vehicle was parked in a non-conventional parking spot. In fact, it wasn't even a parking spot, and definitely not where she generally parks. Her car was locked. Eventually, when her body was found, the car keys were found zipped in her coat pocket. But leading back to the car and the purse was found on the passenger seat of her car. The purse was ripped, and that was, according to her children, that had been a fairly new purse. The purse was ripped and shredded. Also, according to the forensic pathologist, she had fresh contusions on her left arm, which were led them to believe that they were marks from before she did pass away. And that was also after speaking to her children, who confirmed that she generally carries a purse on her left arm, which also makes suicide highly unlikely.
Yes. So basically, you're looking at this and go, things just don't quite add up. How old was she?
She was 55 years old, I believe.
And she had three children?
She did have three children.
Now,
ranging in age from 21 to 30.
Okay. And according to the press release out in the story in the Detroit News that I was following, she had an appointment scheduled to meet with a divorce attorney.
Exactly. Yeah. She had been separated for about 4 or 5 years, legally separated. But the significance of her having the meeting to meet with her divorce attorney is that she was planning for her future. That appointment was scheduled approximately 2 weeks out from the time she was last seen alive by her family. So that just goes to show that she was planning for her future.
So, and the, you know, the press release also that you sent out and articles I'm reading, her family says suicide just doesn't fit Joanne's mold.
Absolutely not. She was a home taker. She was a home giver. She took care of her children. She had never worked other than taking care of the household, taking care of her three children. She attended church on a regular basis, and she was a devout Catholic woman.
Now, what are the police cooperating with you in this investigation? I'm not trying to pick sides here at all. I just think this is a fascinating story.
I surely would hope that they'd open up their eyes a little bit and would take this case a little bit more seriously, and hopefully they receive our evidence that we'll be presenting to them, and analyze it the way that they should, rather than drawing a conclusion without gathering and analyzing the evidence.
Now,
it takes evidence to come up with a conclusion the other way around.
Now, where have you been able to gather some of this evidence? Just re-interviewing people who were on lists or asking around? Where have you come up with some of this new information?
Well, you're exactly right on the re-interviewing, but also something important to note is that we've actually been interviewing people that should have been interviewed in the beginning and weren't. And in addition to that, we've been having to retrieve a lot of our information via FOIA, which is the Freedom of Information Act. And that's how we've been getting some of our substantial information by exercising those powers.
What is the next step in where you're going from here?
The next step is we're hoping that by uncovering some of this evidence right now that nobody had known about before, that people will come to us with some answers. We have several interviews set up. We've already had several people call in with some information. We're taking everything very seriously. We're setting up confidential interviews, and we have some depositions that may be scheduled in the near future as well.
And you have,
and
oh, go
as
ahead.
Soon as we gather, we are forthcoming with the evidence to present to the applicable law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And you're bringing in some forensic pathologists and experts as well to help you with things you've discovered?
We are. A lot of it at this point is honestly common sense. It doesn't take an expert to say that this wasn't a suicide given the nature of a lot of the factors that happened. But there were two highly respected forensic pathologists, actually, one being from the University of Michigan, who had basically what they had said is that this warranted more investigation the manner of her death. And based on that, I don't see how law enforcement or anybody could just close the case and say that's it when you have two respected forensic pathologists recommending and suggesting that further investigation needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. And her children are holding a memorial mass tomorrow.
Correct. Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at St. Paul's Catholic Church in Grosse Pointe Farms. Mm-hmm. And that will be at 7 p.m.
Well, I would love to keep following this, so keep me posted, Jeff. It's an interesting story, and I'm, you know, the family needs answers one way or the other. They need answers, and I'm sure your firm, the Abood firm, is a very well respected law firm, are helping them get those answers.
Thank
and keep us posted on how the case is going.
Sure will, sure will. We believe the truth always comes out eventually, and we're hoping it comes out soon, and we're diligently working on retrieving that.
Very,
so thank you, Cheryl.
Very good. We'll talk to you again soon, Jeff.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Talking with Attorney Jeff Abood of the Abood Law Firm on a kind of a mystery that's resurfacing, and apparently it's warranting a second look. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after these messages.